I'm beginning a new series today, and it's for the next 3 weeks, called The Nine. The Nine. That's the name of the series. It's a fun number, nine. I don't know why. I started thinking about the number nine, and the first thing that came to my mind was one of the old Sesame Street songs. And I can't remember how the song went exactly, but it was nine is a wonderful number or something like that. I can't remember. But anyway, I started thinking about other things. The Beatles had a song called Number Nine. Does anybody even know, have you ever heard that song by the Beatles? It's a weird song, isn't it? It's like really weird. Like, I understand if you play it backwards, Satan Manifest or something. I don't know. But I don't think that's true. But the Beatles had a song called Number Nine. Tim Burton did an animated movie called Nine, I think, or Number Nine. Is that what it was? Yeah. The Weather Channel, they do the weather on the nines. Isn't that weird? It's like every 9 minutes, 9, 18, 27, 36, 45, 54, that's when they do the local weather on the Weather Channel, on the nines, okay? But I'm calling this the nine because in Galatians chapter 5, we are given a list of the fruit of the Spirit, and there's nine of those. And so we're going to be looking over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at the nine fruits of the Spirit, and I'm going to take three per week and talk a little bit more in depth about them. But there's a reason I'm doing this, and I want to talk a little bit more about the reason behind this in this introductory message today. In my family, we're trying to eat healthier. So Jennifer, a few weeks back, she sent me to the store. I was going to the store anyway to buy water, because it seems like we consume bottled water in our home like crazy. My oldest daughter right here, Emily, she's been on a kind of a cleansing anyway, and she's been trying to drink a gallon of water a day. And like we'll buy these cases of the individual bottled waters like this, and like we'll buy it in the morning, and by the end of the night, it's like we need more water. I think we're keeping the recycling people in business. But I went to the store to get some more water. Jennifer said, "While you're there, pick up some fruit. Pick up some fruit." And she's been wanting to kind of cleanse a little and eat healthier. And I said, "Well, what kind of fruit do you want?" She said, "I don't care, just get something." So I went. I went to the store, get water, that's healthy, and get some fruit, that's healthy. And I get there, and I'm in the produce section at Kroger, and I'm realizing this is foreign territory for me. I'm usually, if I'm going to the store, it's because I need to grab coffee or junk, you know. So I'm in the section there, and I'm thinking, there's a lot of fruit here. There's a lot of fruit. And Jennifer didn't tell me specifically what kind to get. And so I started thinking, well, what does she like? And I remember she liked Fuji apples. So I got some Fuji apples. And then I thought, well, I need to eat healthier too. So I'm going to get something I like. So I got some bananas. I got some apples and some bananas. Now, that again reminds me, y'all remember the old Alphabet song? I like to eat, nobody remembers this. I like to eat apples and bananas. I like to eat, I like to eat, I like to eat. And then you start doing it with the alphabet. A late to eight. Y'all are looking at me like, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. Did I make this up from my childhood? Anyway. So I get the apples and the bananas and the water. I come home. But as I'm standing there in the produce section, I have one of these inspirational moments that usually comes when I least expect it from the Holy Spirit. I'm standing there in my tennis shoes and my sweatpants in the produce section of Kroger, and God speaks to me. He says, fruit was created for consumption for the health benefits. And I said, well, thank you, Lord. And then he speaks these words to me. He says, we need all fruit. We need all fruit. And then I realize, I'm looking at all of this produce. I'm thinking, God, I don't have the finances to buy all this fruit. And I don't like some of this fruit. Jennifer likes the Fujis. I like the bananas. I don't really want the kumquats, you know? And I really can't stand tomatoes, which is considered a fruit. Tomatoes to me is a vile fruit. I like it in other things like ketchup, but I realized God was not speaking to me in the natural, although in the natural, fruit was meant to be consumed for the health benefits. And we need all fruits. There's some things that are good for us in bananas. There's some things that are good for us in apples. There's some things that are good for us in oranges and grapes and so forth. And so there's vitamins and there's nutrients. We need all those fruits. And they're meant to be consumed for the health benefit. Now, if you apply this to the nine fruits of the Spirit, if you apply this to the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5, I want you to memorize these fruits. Let me say it a different way. I want you to learn them. I don't want you to just memorize them like for a test and then forget about them. I want you to learn them because if you learn them, you become more aware of them and you begin to intentionally look for them to be produced in your life. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering," which is another word for patience. We'll talk about that next week. "Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law." In other words, there's nothing wrong with these fruits. These fruits are righteous, they're holy. We need them for health benefits in our life. But we need all of them. We need all of them. Sometimes I think we look at these lists in the Bible, like the lists of the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the list here of the fruit of the Spirit, and we think, well, I like this one, I like this one. It's like going to the produce section at Kroger. I like bananas. She likes apples. That's what I'm going to pick for me, and that's what she's going to get for her. And maybe you like pineapples, and maybe you like grapes, and that's what you're going to get. But what we need to understand, what God was speaking to me in the produce section in my tennis shoes and sweatpants, was that we need all the fruit of the Spirit, whether we like them or not. We don't get to pick and choose, in other words. We need all of these. We need love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We need all of these in our life. And here's the bigger revelation. The bigger revelation to me was fruit was meant to be consumed for the health benefits. These fruit, or this list of fruit, these nine, this fruit of the Spirit, we need all of them, and they're meant to be consumed for our benefit. For our benefit, for our health. Health in our relationship with God, health in our relationship with others. How many of you look at this list today and you think, you know, if I had these more in my life, things between me and other people in my life would probably be a lot easier. Things would probably go better. If you look at that, you kind of see that, you kind of recognize that, but really, God says we need to consume these fruit. And this was the bigger revelation, because I always thought, and I do believe this is still true, that the Holy Spirit wants to produce within us these fruits as it applies to others. But can I just tell you, we need to consume them as well. We need to consume the fruits of the Spirit so that what comes in comes out of us. In other words, we need the Holy Spirit to fill our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to consume us, and we need to consume Him so that He comes out, so that these fruits are manifested out of us. And as I started thinking about this and this whole idea of eating healthier and this cleansing, I started thinking about just some of the toxicity in the world today. How many of you believe we live in a toxic world? Come on. I mean, you probably know someone that's in your life that's kind of hard to love. How many of you know someone that's hard to love? And in fact, I started thinking about this word toxicity. You're getting ahead of me, Blake. But this word toxicity, and when I wrote it for the first time, the first thing I saw was toxic city. And it's like we live in toxic city. Some of you know maybe the mayor. But it's almost like this, if you think about it, you probably have somebody in your life that being around them is kind of toxic. They're hard to love, right? Come on, is it just me? Is there at least one person in your life that, you're not saying you don't love them, but boy, they make it hard to love them. Come on, raise your hand, come on. Now, if you're sitting next to them, don't nudge them, okay? But they're just, and you've heard of toxic relationships. You've heard this term before. I've come to understand it is this just relationships in our life that whenever you get around this person, it just turns ugly quick. I mean, there's anger, there's malice, it just seems like it's just ugly and bleh. But we live in toxic city in the sense that our culture seems to breed and breathe toxicity. You watch the evening news anymore, and you feel like you need a bath afterwards, you know? And how many of you agree? Come on. You choose any kind of social media platform, and it's not going to be very long before you come across some stream that has turned toxic. You listen to music today, and you're going to hear at some point some undertones of just almost a poisonous substance that's being spewed out. I'm talking about more in the secular realm. But there's this, it just seems like we live with toxicity in our lives. And more than that, this toxicity, it's dangerous to us. We know this. We don't need to be around it. We don't really like being around it. We don't want to be around it. And so sometimes people think, well, if I'm in a situation that's toxic, all I've got to do is just move. Where are you going to go if the whole culture you live in is like toxic city? You might move out of toxic city and end in Poisondale. Or Bitterville. I don't know. I'm making up words now. But it's when it's everywhere. It reminded me of my allergies. I've lived in a number of different places. How many of you, I've saw on the news where allergies are kind of really bugging people right now. The trees are dropping all their pollen and mine, it's been affecting my eyes more than my sinuses. But how many of you in here have had some allergy issues either in the spring? It's seasonal allergies. It may not be in the spring. It may be in the fall. Okay. I've had this, and I've lived in a number of different places. And so I've lived in places where there was mountains and mountain cedar, and there was ragweed. And then I've lived in other places where there was pine trees and rolling hills. But I've lived, obviously, here in the Metroplex, but I've even lived in arid places. When we lived out in Lubbock, it was very dry, very flat, very arid is what they would call that climate out there, where the stuff that affected my allergies then was the livestock and the dust that was in the air in general, you know? And the funny thing is wherever I went, I couldn't get away from it. There was something that was going to irritate my allergies. We can't escape toxic city. We can't escape the toxicity that is around us. But what we need to understand is that we're in this world, but we're not of it. We don't have to be of it, and we don't have to swallow it. We don't have to choke it down. We don't have to consume it, and we don't have to let it define who we are. But it is dangerous when it's around us like this. And so I went to the grocery store this morning, and I wanted to get some fruit just to kind of have a visual. And more and more lately, I've been using these visual aids because it helps me. I don't know if it does any good for you. But I went and got some fruit. I got some, what are these, cuties, halos? What do they call these? They're like oranges. It's citrus, you know. They're sweet oranges. Okay. And I've got some apples. Fuji, sweetie. She likes the Fuji, I think. And I went ahead and did get some bananas too. Should have opened this up already, but I didn't. I'll let somebody have some of this afterwards. Got some water here. That's healthy. And but then I started realizing I like Coca-Cola. Right? I like, I really like Cool Ranch Doritos. Man, who doesn't like Cool Ranch? It's got a dinosaur on it. I mean, if you eat this, you're going to become extinct like the dinosaur. By the way, the banana, on the other hand, has Captain America. So do you want to be an extinct, dusty dinosaur or Captain America? Anyway, apple juice, that's good for you. Cookies, iced cookies, yes. And there's even some Mother's Day cupcakes. Now, did you notice? Oh, there's something else in here. Oh, yes, Three Musketeer. What is a Three Musketeer besides chocolate? What's in the middle of it? Huh? Nougat. What is that? Anyway, I honestly think it's like witchcraft involved. But do you notice I put some on one side and some on the other? What distinguishes these? Why is this over here and why is this separated from this over here? One is toxic and one is healthy, right? Would y'all agree with that? Okay. Where do you lean? Somewhere. I know. I went to the store to get fruit for her the other day, and I was hungry. Now, how many of you ever heard, don't go to the grocery store when you're hungry? Well, that's so true, because everything looks good, and you want a little bit of it all, right? And but I was pretty good that day. I didn't come home with a lot of extra stuff. I came home with fruit and water, which is what I went for. But there have been times where I've gone to the store for, like, I need to go get some, pick up some water, which is usually what I'm running to pick up. And I come back and I've got all kinds of other stuff that I didn't mean to get. I got bacon and I got breads and I've got cookies. And sometimes I'll get snack pack for myself. Not for the, I don't want to share. I don't want the kids. I don't even say I got this for the kids, honey. No, I got it for me and I don't want the kids anywhere near my snack pack. Anyway, that stuff is toxic. It's bad for you. This stuff is toxic. You go to the grocery store. You say, I got to get out of toxic city. I got to escape this toxicity that's around me. Now, here, I am not talking about eating healthy. Who am I? Look at me. Who am I to talk to you about your personal diet? All right? I'm talking from the spiritual aspect. If you want to talk about health eating, talk to Christine Teal, okay? She's Weight Watchers, she's a nutritionist, and she's healthy. She looks good. She's healthy. All right, don't talk to me about that. But I'm talking about from the spiritual aspect. God talks about these fruit that we need to see in our life, that we need to consume, and that needs to come out of us by the Holy Spirit. We need it because we live with toxicity all around us. We live with unhealthy relationships. We live with unhealthy things in our lives. And so we need these things. But you go to the grocery store, they've got places where there's the health stuff, but it's hard to get past the unhealthy stuff. I mean, they'll have it on the end caps. They'll have Coca-Cola on the end caps. They'll have potato chips on the end caps. To get to the produce, I've got to go through the bakery, and I have to walk right past the cupcakes and the cookies. And if somehow I avoid the aisles that have all the junk food and make it to where they have the healthy stuff, and I get all the way up there, right in the front, as I'm checking out, I've got to deal with all the candy that's hitting me in the face. The point is, it's all around us. Just in the natural, it is when you go to the to the grocery store, but in a very spiritual sense, this toxicity is all around us. It's like we live in toxic city, but we're in this city. We don't have to be of it. We need a purification. We need a regular holy cleansing by consuming the healthy things, so that instead of that toxicity getting into us and us consuming it. But that's the problem, because if we're being honest, we like this stuff a whole lot more than we like this stuff. Most people do in our culture. Let's just be honest. We like this stuff. If I'm going to the kitchen because I'm hungry and I look in the pantry and I see fruit and I see potato chips, I'm probably going for the potato chips. If I want something sweet, this is sweet, this is sweet, this is sweet, but I'm probably going for a cookie, right? Now, likewise, with all the toxicity that's happening in our culture, it's like we can't get enough of it. It's junk food. It's junk food to our soul. It's junk food to our lives. It's junk food to our spirits. It's like we can't get enough of it, though. It has absolutely no nutritional value. And in fact, it's dangerous. It's bad for us. And we know it's bad for us, but we like it. We're addicted to the toxicity. You start reading some of those streams on social media and you're wondering who's going to say what next. And you're wondering, should I say something too? Should I put my two cents in? And you're watching it like you're eating popcorn at a movie. It's exciting to watch it. And you're seeing it on the news and you're hearing it. And then gossip, you're talking about it. It's like you can't. It's like we know it's bad for us. It's toxic to our spirit. But it's like we can't get enough of it. In fact, when I start talking about what's really needed, did you know, I saw this, talking about weird toxic stuff on TV, I was one of these shows about, I don't remember, one of these reality shows, I honestly can't remember the name of it, but this lady who was morbidly obese would only eat junk food. And when somebody gave her the opportunity to eat something healthy, she literally got sick. It made her nauseous. She couldn't stand the thought of eating broccoli. Or a piece of fruit made her physically ill. And that's where a lot of people are in our culture. It's like they have bought so much into the toxicity of our culture that when you start telling them what you really need is the nine. You really need love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. When you start telling them what they really need, they're like, ugh. They find it disgusting because they're addicted to the junk that's killing them. But I want to hear the gossip. I want to hear the latest deluge of toxicity that's coming out of Hollywood or coming out of DC or coming out of my family or coming out of social media, whatever. We need this healthy stuff. And so can I just tell you, I'm not trying to tell you what to eat physically, although we all could probably learn something here. But I'm telling you, in a spiritual sense, living in toxic city, we don't have to consume it or be consumed by it. We need the Holy Spirit. I almost wanted to entitle this, instead of the nine, I was leaning towards clean living in toxic city as a title. But that didn't make any sense either. And so, but how do we live clean? How do we cleanse? How do we live healthy in toxic city? Jesus answered this, and I talked about this several weeks ago in John chapter 15. He said this, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And then he said in verse 26, he said, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." And all throughout this conversation with his disciples, he talked about how that he was leaving, but he wasn't going to leave them orphaned. He was going to come back to them, and he was going to send. And coming back, he meant, "I'm coming back in the form of my Spirit. I'm going to send my Spirit." In other words, I can only be with you right now in the flesh, but when my Spirit comes, I'm going to be poured out on all flesh. I can be at all places at once. I'm still with you though, and I'm going to be here to help you, and you can abide in me, and I will be in you by my Holy Spirit. But that word abide, that's where we sometimes, I've seen a lot of people spin out of control. They come to Jesus, but they don't abide. They don't stay. They don't remain. That's what that word means. It means to live there. Just like a branch. Y'all remember the illustration I might have used, some of you that were here several weeks ago, where I had a dead branch and a live tree up here. Almost like two different things again. But with the branch on the live tree, it had the capacity to produce fruit. It was a fig tree. But that dead branch was never going to produce again. It was dead. You can try all it wanted. Stick it in water, plant it in the ground. It was never going to produce again. It was disconnected from the vine. It was disconnected from the tree. Jesus said, when you are disconnected from me, my Spirit cannot flow into you and help you to produce what needs to be produced, this fruit that needs to be produced. But when you stay, when you remain, and can I just tell you this too? It doesn't happen overnight. You plant a seed. If I took a seed out of this apple and I plant it in the ground, the next day there's not going to be a tree with fruit. It takes time. It takes time. And the schools of thought are this, that, you know, there's one, people say, well, you have this initial baptizing of the Holy Spirit, and that's it. I disagree. I believe that there is an initial baptizing of the Holy Spirit that every person can have. Every believer, every follower of Christ can be baptized in the Holy Spirit that initial time. But can I tell you that I believe that it's an ongoing filling, an ongoing empowering, a daily thing that we need in our life if we're going to see this fruit produced. To see fruit produced in our life, that daily connection with God and that daily letting His Spirit fill our lives. It's kind of like this again, just like if I planted the seed from this apple, overnight it's not going to grow into a fruit-bearing tree. But if I water it, if I take care of it, if I water it daily, it's going to grow and eventually it's going to become a fruit-bearing tree. We live in a culture, just like we have this toxicity in our culture, we also have this kind of an idea that we need instant gratification. But it just doesn't work that way in the kingdom. And so we need daily to be filled, to be empowered, to be connected, to remain with Him. And when we do, we're going to see this fruit begin to be produced in our life. So I want to talk about how clean living in Toxic City today. And we're going to look at the first three fruits in the remaining time that I have. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this today because I spent a lot of time in this whole introduction this morning. But I think it's important that you understand one particular word as we talk about these fruits, and that's the word intentional. Intentionally begin to pursue these fruits. Intentionally begin to look for people you can get around that have these fruits already in their lives so they'll rub off on you. Intentionally get into the presence of God. Just like we talked about the need for intentional prayer to see revival in our land, we also need to intentionally begin to look for these fruits to be produced in our life. And the reason I say this is because most of us, think about just how you live your life on a daily basis. And I'm speaking from experience here, all right? I understand that if I am not thinking about this, if I'm not intentionally thinking about producing the fruits of the Spirit and consuming it myself, consuming the Holy Spirit, getting His life in me, staying connected in Him, I'm going to fail. I can think of an example of this just as far back as last week. Last week, can I just be open and transparent and honest with you for just a minute? Last week, Jennifer said something to me that made me angry and made me mad, and I lost my temper. Oh no, not you, Pastor. What hope is there for me? You're so holy and pure. Really? If you think that, you don't know me. You haven't been around here very long. All right. I'm not perfect. She said something. I took it the wrong way. It wasn't her fault. It was all on me. But I took it the wrong way. I heard it the wrong way. And I got mad and I lost my temper. Now, we've worked it. I apologize. I'm sorry. I'm so stupid. And I am. But here's the truth. Don't look at me so pious like I would never do that, Pastor. I don't even know if I can go to this church anymore. Well, go find the perfect church and mess it up. crack myself up. But here's the deal. I realized in that moment of fleshing out that I was not intentionally thinking about what was coming out of me. And what came out of me was toxicity, instead of the fruit of the Spirit. And does that mean I wasn't saved? Does that mean that all of a sudden I lost my salvation and then I gained it? No, nothing like that. It was like I was distancing myself from God and His presence, His Spirit. And I had been. I hadn't been abiding. I hadn't been staying there and letting Him get in me. I'd been listening to toxic voices and letting that get into me instead. And not surprisingly, what came out was was nasty, you know? I'm talking about intentionally start thinking in your life about those times where you've not shown love, where you've not had peace, or been someone who brought peace to a certain situation, or where there's been a lack of joy, or all the other ones, patience, kindness, gentleness. I want you to understand today, we have to get intentional if we're going to make a difference in Toxic City. We got to get intentional about this. So the first three intentional things to seek, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Those are my 3 points for the day. Love, joy, and peace. Let's just talk about intentionally seeking these in our life for just a minute. First of all, number one is the word love. Go ahead and put that up there. The definition, it's actually the word agape in the Greek, and I'm not going to be trying to bore you with a lot of the Greeks on all of these things, but some of them I will. But this is a different kind of word than love. We throw this word love around a lot, don't we? I mean, I love my family. I do. I love my children. I love my wife. Oh, yes, and I also love to play golf, and I love pizza, and I like to watch baseball so much that I could say I love it, you know? We throw this word around, but really the word love, this is a unique word. In the Greek, it's the word agape, which means unconditional, deep affection and care for God and all people. All, could you just say all? All people. Including those that are very, very, very hard to love. Those people in your life that are toxic. We're still supposed to love them with a deep, affectionate care. How do you do that? In the natural, I can't. It's something that His Spirit births within me. It's something that He puts inside of me. And it's this unconditional love for people who it's easy to love and for people even who are very, sometimes very difficult to love. But we are called to love everyone. We're called to love everyone, to have this deep, intentional, affectionate care for them. That's the kind of love... That's the kind of love that He's looking for. And I call this, I'm calling this the upward fruit, because the first three really are things that are so supernatural that we're not going to find it anywhere else. Now, all of them are upward. But the next three I'm going to be referring to as the outward fruit, because they deal a lot more with how we respond to other people and relate to other people. And then the last three are, I call inward fruit, because they really are what God's doing inside of us. But they're all upward, but these three are so upward that the only way we can get them is from above. The only way we can do is get them is to look up and receive from God. But when I know I'm going to be around someone that is difficult, or a situation that could potentially be toxic, that's when I begin to make up my mind that I'm going to spend more time even in the presence of God. I'm going to let His Spirit fill my life. And I'm going to get intentional. I'm not going to let that happen. But sometimes we don't have that luxury. Sometimes it sneaks up on you. Have you ever had a toxic person sneak up on you? Come on. Maybe it's hard. I can think of a situation. I was having a great conversation with someone one day. We were having a great conversation, catching up, talking about things, and all of a sudden it just turned toxic. I mean, it just the script flipped immediately, you know, and I wasn't ready for that. I thought, oh, wait just a minute. I need to get in my prayer time for just a minute, and then I'll come back. That's why we need to abide. We need to stay in that place where we're just ready all the time. We're intentionally filled with His Spirit, so that when those moments come, we're going to let the good things pop out of us, be produced out of us, instead of the toxicity that's in this world. But this is an intentional decision that I'm not going to feast on the junk. I'm going to get around people who love. I'm going to consume some of their fruit. I'm going to let them rub off on me. And then I'm going to get into the presence of God. I'm going to get around Him, because He is love. And I'm going to let Him fill my life and consume my life. Whenever I'm faced with any kind of a situation that's toxic, I'm going to let His love come out of me instead. Find some people who love like this and hang around with them and be consumed by the Holy Spirit. The second one is joy. Joy, and a lot of times when we think of joy, we think of happiness, and many of you have already probably heard this teaching before, but there is really a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is dependent upon something happening on the outside that makes you happy. Joy, though, is a unique thing. Again, it only comes from God, and honestly, it's something that comes from Him. It springs up from within and flows out. And the Greek is chara, but it doesn't just mean cheerful. It means full of cheerfulness, full of cheer, exceedingly glad. It's not just glad, but it's exceedingly glad. But the one that the definition of this word in the Greek that kind of stopped me in my tracks when I read it was calm. In other words, sometimes things happen in life that make us unhappy, right? It's in those moments you can remain calm and look for the joy of the Lord, so that no one ever robs you of this. That even when life seems to be falling apart, things are happening that are making you unhappy, you can stay calm and you can even stay cheerful and full of gladness. Now, does that describe your life? Just think about it. Is your life calm? Is your life cheerful? Are you exceedingly glad? Or do people like that irritate you? Why are you happy all the time? You're so cheerful. Why aren't you freaking out like the rest of us? You get around people like that, and if something kind of rubs you the wrong way, maybe you're hanging out over on this side of the table a lot more. And what you see in them that irritates you and disgusts you is really what you need. Instead of saying, I don't want it. That person's happy all the time. They just make me sick. Maybe you need to hang around that. Maybe you need to consume some of that happiness, that joy in their life, and get into the presence of God, because he said these things. He said it in that conversation he had at the Last Supper with his disciples. He says, I'm telling you this so that your joy may be full. How many of you say, I really could use some joy in my life? Come on. That's what it's talking about here. That's what the world really is looking for. Whether they are disgusted by it or not, they want to be happy. But they think it has to be something that's happening on the outside. And when it doesn't, they freak out, they get sad, they get depressed, they get angry, they blow up, they become toxic. What they really need is the Spirit of God in their lives producing this joy. And it's, I love what one of the scriptures says. It says joy unspeakable. And so, in other words, it can't even be described. You need to get around people like that, even if you find it kind of disgusting at first, because the junk you've been consuming is toxic. This is health food, and we need this holy cleanse. Number three is peace. Now, the Greek definitions of this one word is so full of meaning. I want to end today just by sharing these thoughts with you. Because when it talks about peace, it's not just, you, peace, man, you know. It's talking about intentionally looking for these things in your life. First of all, peace with God. It's peace with God. It's understanding that it's you're truly saved. Not because of something you've done or not done, but because of what Jesus has already done. And that you know that you're in right standing with God, not because of your righteousness, but because of his righteousness. Not because of your sacrifice, but because of his sacrifice. It's an inward knowing, a peace with God that I have. And then that actually helps you to begin to have peace with others. To not just kind of get along with them from a distance, but it's really a harmony and a unity and an agreement with others in your life directly. And I can't state it enough. There's so much power in unity. There's so much power in agreement. When we can find a way to get past our differences and to find peace with one another to the point to where we're coming into unity and to agreement, there's power there that is unleashed. And that leads to security and prosperity. These are all definitions of this one word, peace. Security and prosperity. Because you have peace with God, you realize that he's a good father who's going to take care of you. He's going to provide. He's going to protect. And because you have peace with one another, it continues to enable. It's like you've been in some relationships before where it's so toxic, it just really makes you feel even insecure. You get away from that for a little while, and you get around some true friends, some people who truly love you, and you realize there's some security in this relationship. But beyond that, there's also this word prosperity. And this was one of those things in that Greek definition that just kind of baffled me. It blew me away, because when you say prosperity in church, people have all kinds of things that come into mind. And they hear it, they think, well, he's one of those prosperity preachers where you say, you give a dollar to me and God's going to give you 100 tomorrow or something like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about filthy rich, or I'm not talking about giving to get. I'm talking about God providing for you to have more than enough. Now, I want to ask you again, think about this. Is this fruit being produced in your life? Does this describe what's coming out of you? And ultimately, it leads to national peace or national tranquility. When this kind of fruit is in abundance among believers, it impacts nations. This one word, peace. When this fruit is coming out of the lives of believers, it impacts nations. Instead of rage and war consuming the land, that toxicity is replaced with peace. Does this sound like our culture today? Be honest. Does it sound like the culture that we live in? We need the fruit of the Spirit like never before. And it starts with you, and it starts with me. It starts with us abiding in the vine, abiding in Christ, remaining, staying connected to Him, letting His Spirit baptize us and continue to fill our lives and empower us on a daily basis, just like watering a garden so that His fruit begins to be produced in us. And I'm going to tell you something. If we live intentionally seeking this upward fruit, I really believe it's going to impact your life and your relationships, but it's going to impact our nation. But let me ask you this. I'm going to close with this today. This is an apple. Where does this come from? It's okay, class participation. A tree. What kind of tree? Yeah, an apple tree, right? If it was a banana, what would it come from? A banana tree, right? But can I just ask you, I've actually gone to apple orchards and picked apples, and I've seen these apple trees, and there's actually, during season, there's a lot of apples on the tree, and there's a lot on the ground, but there's also a lot of wood on the tree that makes up the tree, the root systems, and there's wood, the branches. And there's also still a lot of leaves on the tree, right? Why don't they call it a wood tree? Or a leaf tree. Huh? A tree is known by what it's produced. That's how you identify it. When you talk about these nine, let's just talk about these three. Love, joy, and peace. God wants us to become known for the fruit that we're producing. Are you known for toxicity in your own life? Or are you known for the fruit of the Spirit? Another way of saying it is identity. In other words, God is not so interested in what you're doing as He is in who you are and who you're becoming. He wants you to become love. You see that guy over there? That's a love tree. See that lady? She is a joy tree. See that family? That's a family. That's an orchard of peace trees. Well, that sounds like a hippie. But do you understand what I'm saying today? He wants you to become love. He wants you to become joy. He wants you to become peace. That's how you're identified. You're known for the fruits that is coming out of your life. Everybody bow your head, close your eyes for just a minute. Just be honest today, and I'm being honest. I've been transparent with you here this morning. How many just be honest as well and say, I need that unconditional love. And maybe there's somebody that comes to mind that's toxic in your life, and you know that you just need a supernatural love that is unconditional, that enables you to forgive and to actually care affectionately and love this person. How many of you just say, I need some of that kind of love in my life? Just raise your hand. How many of you, be honestly, I need some of this kind of joy? It's not based on what's happening on the outside, but what God is doing on the inside of me. How many of you that say, I need more joy? Come on, raise your hand today. How many of you just say, I need more peace? I need that peace, peace with God, peace with others, security, prosperity. I need it. Raise your hand today. Hands are going up on all of these today. Yeah, we need this in our life. Everybody stand up today. Stand up. You raised your hand today, and there's a lot of people who raised their hands. I'm just going to ask you to come stand right in front of me. And I know there's maybe more people up here today than there are out there, but if you raised your hand, just come stand right here in the altar here this morning. And what I want to do is just pray a prayer over you today that the Holy Spirit will begin to infuse you with His presence. Let's just all pray for this today. Just open your hands up wide, everybody, and just say, Lord, fill me. Lord, fill us today with your presence. Fill us with your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Fill our lives. Just, you say it to him directly. Say, fill me today. Fill me today. Fill me today, God. Lord, I believe in the laying on of hands because not because there's anything magical here in me, but God, in you, Lord, just transfer your Spirit, Lord, into every life that's here to produce the fruit that we need. Lord, I pray for love that is so unconditional, Lord, that we can just love everybody. We love you. We love everybody, oh God. Lord, I thank you so much.